John Lee has an analogy. He says breath meditation is like your home, the place where you're safe, the place where you can be at your ease. But if you just stay at home, though, you don't have any food to eat. You have to go out foraging. The places where you go foraging, he says, are the other topics of meditation. In his image, you use them in order to deal with specific defilements as the mind is settling down. Then when the work is done, you come back. Contemplate the parts of the body to deal with lust, if lust is the problem. Develop the Brahma Viharas, thoughts of goodwill, compassion, empathetic joy, equanimity. If you're having a problem with ill will, or irritation, or resentment, but it's also the case that even before you get home, sometimes you have to wash yourself off. I think of the bathroom at the back of our house when we were living on the farm. Dad would come in off the fields, and before he could come into the house, he'd go into the bathroom, wash up, be more presentable. In the same way, before we can settle down with the breath, sometimes we have to wash off the mind. It's been sweaty from dealing with issues of the day. Many of the ways of washing the mind are the same as where you go foraging. Sometimes the breath is too subtle. Sometimes you find that if you focus on the breath right away, you start squeezing it, clamping down on it. You've got to find some other way of getting the mind to settle down first, and then switch over to the breath, see if that works. And you can find whatever technique works for you that doesn't have to be listed in the canon or in the teachings of the Ajahns. There were times early on when I found myself frustrated with dealing with the breath, and then I just allowed myself to focus on my hands, relax the hands, not even think about the breath. Just relax all the muscles in the hands as best I could. And then when they felt thoroughly relaxed, then work up to the wrists, the forearms, upper arms, shoulders. Start down at the toes, work up the feet, through the legs, the pelvis, up the spine, into the skull. By the time I got to the skull, I found I could settle down with the breath and be okay. I wasn't clamping down on it anymore. You can combine that relaxation technique with bone meditation. Because as it generally points out, you don't necessarily have to focus on the parts of the body to see them as unattractive. Just notice you have these parts of the body here. It gets you to thinking, this body that I'm so concerned about, making sure that it's fed, making sure that it gets rested, has good shelter, clothing, medicine when it needs it. What do you have? Lots of incongruous parts. That's enough to peel away a lot of the issues around your body. Then there's social issues, people you've been dealing with. This is where the Brahma Viharas come in. You tell yourself, if I really loved myself, if I really had goodwill for myself, would I let myself get tied up in these issues? Or could think about the Buddha's awakening. Things he learned on the night of his awakening, the perspectives he got, thinking back on all his many previous lifetimes, and then seeing the whole universe, beings dying and being reborn in line with the karma, huge numbers. And that kind of reflection makes issues of the day seem very, very small. So there are lots of ways you can clean off the mind. Get the mind willing to settle down, be with the breath. At the same time, if you find yourself over-controlling with the breath, find something that's easier to focus on to relax you, and kind of sidle over to the breath. Notice when you're relaxed with this particular topic or relaxed in this particular way, what's the breathing like? You don't have to control it. You don't even have to tell yourself to watch the breath. Just notice the quality of the breath. then can you focus on the breath maintaining that same quality? Because that's what this is all about, getting you settled at home. Because the breath is, of all the possible meditation topics, it is the safest. When you have a whole body awareness together with the whole body breath. Your concentration is solid. If anything weird comes up, you know you have a good safe place to go. This is why this is home. Because if you focus on the body too much, it can get very discouraging. Some people get so they can't eat at all when they start thinking about what's going on in their bodies. You deal with the Brahma Viharas. Sometimes you start feeling, well, I should be out there doing work for all these people who are suffering. You have to remind yourself that the big issue of suffering is the way you're looking for happiness in your life is causing you to suffer. And it's probably causing other people to suffer as well. This is where your main responsibility is. Finding happiness in a responsible way. Ultimately getting to a happiness that doesn't have to depend on anything at all. But right now we're here at a place where we have to depend on the generosity of others. There's something uplifting about that. We're not taking anything away from anyone. We don't scheme, we don't connive to get things out of other people. Everything here has been offered out of pure generosity. But even so, this is dependent on conditions. Conditions of society are very, very fragile. And at the same time, we're in debt to other people. No. Some people say, well, I'm in debt by meditating here. I've got to go away. Some place where I'm not in debt. Well, wherever you go, the Buddha says, we're indebted to one another. And if you find your happiness in ways that cause other people to suffer, that's a huge debt. The only people who are totally free of debt are arahants. So this is the path to being unindebted. And when arahants achieve their attainment, then all the goodness that other people have done for them gets amply repaid, which is why arahants have no debts. So if you don't want to be indebted to anybody, that's the only place you can go. So you're on the right path. And appreciate that you're here in a place where you're not oppressing anybody. And you're learning how not to oppress yourself. So if nothing else, think thoughts like this before you settle down. Because the whole point of getting the mind into concentration is to give it a place where it likes staying, where it can have a sense of ease, pleasure, rapture, and refreshment. So whatever gets the mind into the present moment, whatever Dharma theme allows you to be here, it's all fair game. Use it to wash yourself off, get yourself presentable, and then you're ready to settle in at home. Then really get to know this house you've built. Because that's what the Buddha does with his image of settling in. You're at home in meditation. It's your dwelling place. It's your Vihara Dhamma. It's one of many Viharas, one of many dwellings you've been building for yourself. This is the best one for understanding how the joists are put together, how the beams are put together, how all the parts are put together. So someday you can start dismantling it. But before you dismantle it, learn how to build it well. Because the mind does need to rest along the path. There's a lot of heavy work that has to be done sometimes. And you need this place to rest, to gather your strength. So build it well, rest well. Feed the mind well with a sense of ease and well-being. And then as for the work that needs to be done, you'll be able to do that well as in addition.